our Veda. Vedas, as we have covered already, talk about the principle Brahman, which is avakya, avaktavya, which is indescribable. The attributes are so many, which the human mind is unable to grasp. So, to enable the mind to grasp on that principle, Hinduism has devised this method of Saguna Aradhana. See, in meditation, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, informs Arjuna that one has to develop the habit of misleading or misguiding the mind, because you are different from the mind. Because mind is something which works independently of you, and unless you exercise power over that, it will go beyond you. But at the same time, with the intellect you have, that is buddhi, of course buddhi is slightly higher than intellect, the word is insufficient, you can always mislead the mind constructively. That mislead is the description given the avaktavya. When we say the attributes of Devi are innumerable, how is it they are giving some attribute and keep on describing in Lalita Sahasranama? As you see, in Lalita Sahasranama, it follows a set pattern, because there is a lakshana, that is a grammar, kavya lakshana, for any sloka which you do in Sanatana Dharma. Here, you have in Stotra lakshana, in Lalita Sahasranama, especially, you will first find the description of the Devi, Keshadipada, that is from the head to the toe. Padadi Kesha is for the male deity. Then the Udbhava, that is the revelation. We don't say that is the birth of Devi. Devi is never born. Udbhava of Lalita Devi. Then her Griha. Then Bhandasuragata. Then Nirguna Aradhana. Then Saguna Aradhana. Then Aikyanu Santhana. Then your Phalashruti. This is how the structure goes. When you say Nirguna, 1 minute which you loosely translate without attribute. Without attribute is a wrong nomenclature. The attribute which you cannot express is beyond attribute. So, Nirguna, technically you should say beyond attribute. If I cannot describe anything, I cannot describe something which I have not seen. For example, you are saying in, say, Philadelphia, I have not seen it. When I say I cannot describe it, that doesn't mean it doesn't have any attribute. It is not Nirguna. It has its attribute, I cannot describe. Therefore, here, a human mind looks for perfection in at least couple of things. One is beauty. Mind always goes after beauty. It is not necessary that it should be for the opposites. Second, a beautiful rain, a beautiful scenery, a child's smile, all these things make you forget yourself for a moment. That is beauty. So, in Saundarya, in beauty, you lose yourself, your mind meditates. Similarly, any attribute, if it is carried into perfection, your mind loses itself in that. So, in that way, your Saguna Aradhana gets fruition. And once you reach that level, your Nirguna Aradhana automatically comes in Saguna Aradhana. From that. So, this is the essence of Nirguna and Saguna Aradhana. As far as Lalita Sahasranama is concerned, we have seen that Lalita Sahasranama is not only a mantra, it is also a yantra and tantra. All these three aspects, one is worship through the sound, and the second is through sacred geometry, and the third is combination of these both and human body, that is Tantra Sastra. All these are represented in Lalita Sahasranama. Therefore, the three processes of worship developed by Sanatana Dharma is embedded in Sri Lalita Sahasranama. Number one. Second, another unique characteristic of Lalita Sahasranama, it is also a Yoga Sastra. How is it Yoga Sastra? It is a Yoga Sastra in the sense that when your Mooladhara, from the Mooladhara, When the Shakti rises through your Swadhisthana, it is Brahma Grandhi. Brahma Grandhi, from Brahma Grandhi, after that is the Devi regulates the flow of energy and keeps it up to the level of Swadhisthana. From there, it goes up to the chest, up to Vishnu Grandhi, she again guides it. And the third, it grows to Rudra Grandhi, it is through destruction. Here, destruction means annihilation of your vasanas, karma pala. Vasanas here mean that if I put it in a way which you can understand. Supposing all of us, when you eat, especially I give you the example of biryani, because that is the one which carries the spice. Even after you wash your hands, even with the soap, it carries with it a smell, if the cooking is right. Similarly, even if all the actions you have done and it has delivered the result, the results of those actions, these karma pala remain with you even after you leave your human body. That is called the vasanas, karma pala, the pala state. When we say in Rudra Grandhi, Devi destroys it in the form of Rudra, in the form of Rudra, by destroying these tendencies and of course your ignorance. Therefore, it is a yoga sastra. And it is also a laya sastra. What is the laya sastra? Laya sastra is the laya in Sanskrit means rhythm. Rhythm. All of you may know that the term rhythm in English comes from the word rita in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, the term rita means universal order of things. There is an universal order of things. Everything. Today, Hinduism in general believes or not believes, advocates one, the theory of uniformity and the theory of orderliness. It doesn't support the chaos theory. That rita is enforced in the universe by the Devi through her Leela. Level, at the cosmic level, at the individual level, when you practice Sri Chakra, Sri Pura, and Sri Vidya, you perform means upasana. If you very carefully observe your swasa, that is inhalation, uswasa and viswasa, inhalation and exhalation will be uniform. That is possible only when you follow the rules laid down for performing the puja of Lalita Devi. The puja of Lalita Devi, the rules are laid down by Hayagriva in exposition to Agastya. I don't know whether I have covered the portion Agastya last time. Hayagriva is an avatar of Vishnu. He is the embodiment of wisdom. He is conveying this to Agastya, who on his own right is one of the greatest rishis who has composed the Sukta, and his wife Lopa Mudra is another Rishika, and she is one of the greatest philosophers. And along with Agastya, she is one of the very few people who are called Apara Guru. There are three types of gurus which can give you Sri Vidya Diksha. One type of guru is Deva. Deva include Manu, Indra, Agni, Subramanya, on top of it Shiva. Shiva is first bhakta and devotee of Devi. They are called Deva Guru. Next is Apara Guru, which is called Siddha Guru. N number of Siddha, people who have realized the reality and transcend the space and time concept are called Siddha. Siddhas are different from the Jnanis. I'll explain in a short while the difference, because it's good for people to know about it, because we seem to interchange lots of words. Rishi, then Muni, then Siddha. Each are different, each has a different connotation. Of this, these Siddha, who has realized that they are composed, they are also another level of guru. The third type of guru among the people, human beings. They will come and give you the upasana without your asking for it. They will come and give you. One child you can find from the guru is that out of nowhere he will come and give you. He won't demand anything from you, he will not expect anything from you. But having said that, it is vidya is never vidya and aushati. Medicine should never be taken free of cost. So that is called a dakshina, whatever one has to offer, they offer. A real guru, when somebody comes and tells you, I'll initiate Sri Vidya Diksha, you pay me 1,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees, 25,000 rupees, take it from me, as informed in the Shastra, he is not a guru. A man who expects anything in return for a Shishya is not a guru at all. So don't be misled as far as this is concerned. Okay, having said that, before I go to some other information regarding Lalita Sahasrama, let me clarify something about Rishi, Muni and Siddha. Rishi and those are called Drashta, Mandra Drashta. Drashta, Mandra Drashta. Drashta means one who grasped. That is, Rishis are those people who grasp the sounds from Akasha and then they transmit it for the welfare of the people. They are called Rishi. Now, what are these sounds? There are two types of sounds. The sounds which we make, that is, I am speaking, you are also speaking, you are hearing things. We are hearing a lot of things. These are the sounds we have. And this is, sorry, sound. Apart from that, there is one sound which is called anahata, which is not made by any human being, that is grasped from the ether by the rishi and by a sataka. Most important point is sataka. That is, when somebody performs Sri Vidya Upasana or any upasana, that is, you make it a japa, in the format it has been suggested to be done, they will hear the sound syllable. And this is called anahata. That sound is being the guiding principle of anyone. Next is called the muni. One muni, he means one who concentrates upon. That's all. That is the earliest stage of Rishi. He is at the lower level. After that comes Siddha. Siddha, we have to find out two things. Two terms. Siddha is on a higher plane than that of mind. It is a part of our antakarana. Antakarana means our inner organ. Our inner organ includes mind, buddhi and chitta. Mind, you know, is equivalent to a CPU which receives input and sensory information. Whereas your intellect, through the help of buddhi, ascribe factual judgment and value judgment. Higher than that is chitta, which is conditioned by your past karma and your disposition. A man or woman, one is born with a certain tendencies to intellect. One becomes a music, one becomes a music genius, one becomes a scientist even from the childhood. See, you find. See, these dispositions are determined as far as Sanatana Dharma is concerned, your Purva Janma Vasana. This is Chitta. Now, the root cause of our attachment to things in this world, the root cause of our pleasures and pain is the work of Chitta. Let me explain. I used to enjoy lot of things when I was, say, at the age of 15. I used to enjoy some things at the age of 25, then 40, 50, 60. Now, I don't enjoy any of the things which I enjoyed earlier. In fact, I find them to be an embarrassment. In fact, I hate them. This happens every day. The reason is, why? If a thing has to give you happiness, you should continue to give the same happiness, right? After all, the sugar, if it is there, sugar continues to be sweet. But when a man is diabetic, he runs away from fear. When you hear in this analogy, because of his health. Otherwise, sometimes you start hating also. So, the change is not in the things themselves, but your perception and your reaction to the thing. This is the result of your chitta interacting with the objects of senses through your mind. This is the reason why you become happy or unhappy with the thing from the world. So, Siddhas are those people who have conquered the modification or the vibrations of chitta. After all, any activity which is being carried out, either physically or mentally, is energy. Even sound, I mean, any action is an energy. As you all know, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, other it can only be transformed. Such being the case, an energy which has already been produced can only be transformed. But how you transform it is more important. So the vibration, when the chittas interact with the things outside you, they create a lot of modification. Let me give you an example. When you observe certain things, you get a lot of disturbance, sometimes depending on the mood. Looking at a particular thing, sometimes you will highlight it. At the same time also, sometimes you have the tendency to ignore it, still you go after it. At a given point of time, you have a lot of impression being carried out with your chitta. These modifications give you attachment. But once this modification is destroyed, your true nature, that is your true nature, is being Sat, Chit, Ananda, it shines forth. This is possible as stated by Patanjali in his first sutra, Sutra Yoga, Chitta, Vritti, Nirodha. The cessation of the modification of Chitta is Yoga. Yoga in Sanskrit means only union, that is the union of the individual Jiva with the Parabrahma. Therefore, in response, in respect of the Lalita Devi, the Sahasranama, when the Siddhas are people who transcend the time and they have mastered the maker and act of overcoming the space and time quantum, and they have been given the responsibility of spreading, being one of the gurus in transmitting the knowledge of Sri Lalita Devi among the people. In Lalita Sahasranama is such an important namavali that it was initially revealed to the world by Shiva, but it was kept as Gupyam, as a rahasya. Devi explains it in the Purvanga Lalita Sahasranama. It was kept hidden because at the time when it was released, the Asura Shaktis were in ascendance. If they come to get hold of it, the Devas would be at a disadvantage and be defeated. So she kept it a secret. Now it gives you an important information about mantra. What is that? That is, should one know the meaning of mantra, or is it not necessary to know the meaning of mantra? The answer is both yes and no. Number one, no, it is not necessary to the meaning. The reason is, mantras are powerful. Like I said earlier, mantras are not all different, they are only sound. You are not supposed to write it down and learn it. You are not supposed to do it. You have to listen to it, because your Rukveda insists on that from the first Vedic mantra. Vatram, Vatram Karnevi Shruniyama Deva. So, Shrodra, you have to listen. So, they are they mystically lock the sound, and these sound they will deliver itself whether you know its meaning or whether you don't know. Just as whether you know that fire will burn or will not burn, if you touch it, it will burn your fingers. Having said that, if you come to know the meaning of the mantras, if you have the right attitude, you will be able to concentrate better. Unfortunately, if you don't have that attitude, what happens is your faith, you lose your faith. Because if you take, we know Gayatri Mantra is one of the most powerful mantra. You see the English translation or any regional translation, nothing very great about it in the meaning, but the power of Gayatri is something great. So that power, which enables very lucid translation, enables me to think deeply, meditate upon, may that energy lead you something to that. But nothing give you very great. But the power of Gayatri, when you do it in the five padas, you're supposed to be in the usually. So the mantra, so that mantra was not released till such time. Then V.V. decided to have it released or sung by her shaktis, 8 in number called Vagdevis. Lalita Sahasranama was revealed. Please let us not use the word compile. Lalita Sahasranama was revealed in a place, a small village, a small temple in Tamil Nadu near Kumbakonam in Ayodham called Thirumayichu. That is the place this was revealed by the Devis, Vagdevis. And this was taught by Hayagriva to Agastya. What is the specialty? What is the reason for Hayagriva for choosing Hayagriva and Agastya? Hayagriva is the embodiment of knowledge because he is Vishnu. Jnana Gamya Puravana. Vishnu is one who is reached by knowledge and jnana. And Vishnu is the elder brother of Devi. There was interest about Shankaracharya and his Bhashya of Vishnu Sahasrama. When Acharya got his Upadesha from Govinda Bhagavad-gita, he wanted to write a Bhashya of Sri Lalita Sahasranama. So he asked his disciples to go on doing the text. They went there, they brought forth the Vishnu Sahasranama. Then after they said, go and bring, second day they brought forth again Vishnu Sahasranama. Third time, Vishnu Sahasranama. Then Acharya meditated. Then Devi told him, Shankara, before offering anything to me, you have to offer everything to my elder. Such is the process for Saiva and Vaishnava. The Vedas do not exist in Vedas at all. So Vishnu has to be given respect. So the Vishnu is avatar. Hayagriva does it. And whom does he do? He releases to Agastya. What is he? Agastya is an avatar. Combination of Mitra and Varuna, combination is Agastya. And Agastya is a rishi who is a bridge between the language, one of two earliest languages of the world, Sanskrit and Tamil. He is the founder, as record to say, about 5000 old texts to say, Agastya was the founder of the Tamil language along with Shiva. Shiva presided over the first Tamil conclave. The first sutta, Sanskrit sutta, that born from the Danura of Shiva, simultaneously the language, another language was born from Shiva's feet. So Agastya, and also he is one of the topmost Sishyas of Shiva as a yogin. Adi yogi is Shiva. His sishyas were Agastya, Boga and Patanjali. And Shiva, the original yoga, this is additional information for your additional person. The original Patanjali yoga today, you see, was not intended by. The original yoga that was released to the world, it came to the world, was called, the prophets called it Vasi Yoga. It is the process of controlling the consciousness direct without going through the process mentioned in the Patanjali. If you look at the name, you'll find Patanjali, he doesn't say yoga. He is very clear. Patanjali is Ashtanga Yoga, 8 steps yoga. Yama, Nema, Asana, Asana, Pranayama, Dhyana, Dharana, Pratyahara, Samadhi. It goes 8 steps. So, when Vasu Yoga was there, Shiva found it was very difficult for human beings to follow. So, he ordered Patanjali to compose another set of soul yoga, which is easier for human beings to follow, thus came this Yoga Sutra. Similarly, that is Patanjali Yoga. Similarly, Agastya has written in the language of a lot of Yoga Sutra. Therefore, the man who teaches this is the Swarupa of Shiva. The man who releases it, who receives that knowledge, is recognized by Shiva himself as the one who can balance the whole world when his marriage took place in Himalaya. Such is the greatness of this man who says and the man who receives it, and it was revealed by Devi itself. And as I said earlier, this was not released earlier because she did not feel it to be released to at that point of time. She did not want the Asura Sakti to come to know of it. That is what she wanted to avoid. That is the reason the Lanka Sastanama was ruined. And this as a text is found in Sri Brahmanda Purana. This is the last Purana of the 18 Purana. There are more than 18 Purana. Out of the 18 Puranas, the last Purana was Brahmanda Purana. In this Brahmanda Purana, this occurs, which is Langobhakyam, also it is called. And this occurs, the Sambhavana, between the Sambhavana discussion between Hayagriva and Agastya. This is the basis of Sri Lalita Sarasvatama. Before I proceed with introduction, some more introduction about the Lalita Sarasvatama and about the commentaries that have been written on that, and some of the essential features of Lalita's the Upasana, Sri Chakra, and Sri Pura, and I will do in the next class onward. We will straight away go into Purvanga Sri Lalita Sarasvatama. Till now, till this point, any doubts anybody has, you can ask me any question. Yes, Mr. Prathir Singh, any doubt? Mr. Prathir Singh, any doubt? Okay. Mr. Apurva, any doubt? Okay. Is it the same with everybody? Hello? Is there on? Yeah? Do you have any audio difficulties? Back, Mr. Patru? Yeah. One second, let me see. Probably the fan might be. Right now I'm not in Bangalore, I will come to Chennai. Let me see. I'll switch off the fan and see. Probably it's giving you trouble. One second, please wait. Is that okay now?
Hello?
Hello? Then the culprit is the fan. Okay. See, climate in Madras is so bad, it's absolutely horrible, because I am from Bangalore, found it very difficult. Okay. Now, other information, let me proceed. This Lalita Sahasranama, the most authentic commentary is by Sri Bhaskara Raya. The book written by him is called Saubhagya Bhaskara. Bhaskara Raya was born in 1690 in Bhaga, Maharashtra. Then later, his father was Gambira Raya. He belonged to Vishwamitra Gotra. He was a very learned man. His father was also a learned man, learned in Veda. Then he shifted to Varanasi, where he spent a lot of his time in doing research in Lalita Sahasranama and other esoteric tantra. He is a master of tantra, tantra tradition. Then he moved over to South India near Pudukkot, there is a place. During the first half of the 1690, around 1720 or 1730, he moved to Tamil Nadu, and a city was given to him, a small village was, which is called Bhaskara Rayapuram. Even now, that village exists, the place where he lived also exists. I mean, the house where he lived also exists. And he attained his Jiva Samadhi at a place near Bhaskara Rayapuram. It's there you have one of the most powerful Shiva temples for Brahma, Hathi, Dosha. So, this is the background of Bhaskara Raya. Apart from this, he has written more than 50 books which are esoteric in nature, and he has referred more than 150 to 200 texts to write the text of, to write the commentary on Sri Lalita Sahasranama. His Sishya was Umananda Nada. I will share the article with you also. This Umananda Nada, see, earlier I have already said the Lalita Sahasranama was revealed by Shiva. Later, it was again edited, and the number of shlokas were reduced, and it was done by Dattatreya, an avatar of Shiva, avatar of Vishnu. Then again, another avatar of Vishnu, that is Parashurama, did another edition, and the shloka numbers were again reduced, and the procedure was much more simplified. The number of shlokas were less. That is called Parashurama Kalpa Sutra. That is the basis on which today Lalita Sahasranama Aradhana is being conducted. Now, I am not very sure whether I have informed this class that there are different types of worshipping Devi. One is called Samayachara, Samayavadin, that is you do it mentally. And the second is Dakshinachara, that is in Dakshinachara, that is what we are doing, what we do every day. That is, we use the Sri Chakra and we perform the Lalita Sahasranama with Andar Mukha, that is Andar Puja and Bahir Mukha Puja. Andar Mukha Puja means doing it mentally. Bahir Mukha, that is you do this Rupa, Deepa, Naivedya and Sostra, everything. That is the procedure, Dakshinachara. Third one is called Kavalamarga. It is worshipping the Devi in a terrible aspect of Kali. Many people think when you are talking about Kali, it is terrible in the sense, even though the representation is Kali drinking blood, etc., it's allegorical, even though some Puranic interest is there. Kali, like Bhairava, is the destroyer of ignorance. Therefore, the destruction of ignorance is signified in Kaulachara. Then you get Vamachara. In Vamachara, it includes a certain amount of physical activities, which includes, which also includes Samayachara, Dakshinachara, Kaulachara, and also using a physical body to realize the Parabrahma, where it includes certain esoteric and erotic practices. Now, when you are, there is no point when I will be discussing some of the descriptions you find in Lalita Sahasranama. We be erotic in nature, in the sense that people have to understand the meaning of the right spirit, because the human soul doesn't have sex. People have to understand there is no distinction. There is no such thing as male soul and a female soul. Jiva doesn't have sex. Number two, in Sanatana Dharma, sex is neither a sin nor sacred. In fact, it is considered more sacred, provided we approach it in the way it has to be approached. It is to be used for begetting a good progeny. For satisfying one's lust and physical desire, it is as good as being beastly. That's all Hindu. And beyond that, it doesn't give any validation. So certain practices are initiated in that. This, the people who perform it, they perform it with nishkamikarma, without mind being attached. So that is the Tantra Shastra. People who do not have a good guru and who do not have a good resolution are not advised to follow Tantra Shastra, because either if they are entering without this resoluteness and a good guru, they will either become divorced or they will end up mad. So these are the things in Tantra Shastra. Unless you are very sure, you should not jump to that. That is why people normally choose Dakshinachara, because Samayachara is very difficult to follow, because doing everything mentally, you will do it after some time. Then, what is other thing? Many of the Lalita Sahasranama, in a sense, totally 320 stanzas. It exactly gives the 1000 names of Devi. And unlike other Sahasranamas, there is no repetition of the name. In Vishnu Sahasranama or any other Sahasranama, you will find some additional names or additional Sanskrit words used to generate additional name. So, which is not. In Lalita Sahasranama, you will not find any single word being Namavali being repeated. And another point in Sri Lalita Sahasranama is that you are expected to follow the Nyasas. Nyasas meaning procedures to be followed. That is, you make certain things to be performed in your body. You bhavana. You think that they are there. Then it will be there. That is, when you start yata bhavo tatha drishti. That is, if you start thinking a certain thing will happen. Today you call it as, you know, positive reinforcement of thought process. Some fancy word view. What you say, whatever you say, it will come into fruition. Meanwhile, let me also make one statement. In Hinduism, there is nothing, there is no word. If you say something is super normal, there is a miracle. There is nothing called miracle in Hinduism. In Purana, you advert, they will say ashcharyam. That means you are surprised. You are astonished. That is nothing, because everything that happens in nature is only natural order of things. Because about 20 or 15, even as early as about 15 years back, nobody would have thought that there was a small thing which you can hold it in your pocket. With that you can converse with people beyond the continent, seeing them in front of you in real time. Right? So when that human mind conceives, it can execute. At that point of time, it looks like childish. Therefore, people should be careful of what they think, because it will become effective. So, So in Nyasa, there are, now I'll explain this in detail, the slokas will come in, I'll explain. Nyasas are those things which you find, you will have to do it in your body. That is, when you perform Sri Lalita Sahasranama and Sri Vidya Upasana, you become Devi yourself. When you chant a mantra, when you chant something, start something auspicious, you will find in practical life lot of acts of this coming to you. For example, you want to start a Lalita Sahasranama Parayana class, or you start doing the puja at home, say continuously for 48 days, take a walk, you will find all sorts of silly obstacles coming, making them that you don't do it. Now this is beyond logic, you will know by experience. And the second, it is also equally true, when you are attempting to do something, especially in Mantra Shastra, there are forces which are likely to interrupt you from doing it. This means, from forces that are inimical to you, away from you, apart from you, or your karma vasana themselves. So what is being done, Shodhanyasa, the sixth steps of protecting yourself in your body, Shodhanyasa, is to seal the places where these things are likely to disturb. The Shodhanyasas are to be performed. And how is Lalita Sahasranama is to be performed, puja is to be performed. Essentially, Sri Chakra is to be worshipped. Then Sri Yantra is to be worshipped. Then that is Meru. Then you have to do the Namavali. And Andarmukha and Bahirmukha. Andarmukha means you will have to do it mentally. And also Bahirmukha. All these things you will get it in the sloga. Don't worry, I'm just giving you a rundown to do. In Bahirmukha, you do whatever we do in the house, it is being done. This is the instruction that is being given in the sloka. As I said, in 320 couplets, Devi's thousand naams are revealed. And in about out of that, 51 form the Purvanga of Sri Lalita Sahasranama. Many of us, most of the people today, they think the Lalita Sahasranama start Sindhura Runa Vigraham Trinayana Manikya Maulispurata Taranayaka Semaram Smita Mukim Abhina Vakroruham. This is not the beginning of Lalita Sahasranama. This comes after Nyasa, Anga Nyasa and Karanyasa. Before that, there is Purvanga that contains 51 slokas. These 51 slokas contain as a secret the 51 aksharas are Devi. Aksharas are Devi, that is one akshara in each sloka. So this one has to remember. So you start chanting from the Purvanga. And another important information. Okay. Now you start. So how do we do that? When you start doing the Lalita Sahasranama, the correct procedure is the Ganapati Puja has to be done, Ganapati Avahana should be done, Ganapati Puja has to be done, then Ganapati has to be given the rest, that is Shobhanarthe Kshemaya Punaragamanaya cha. He has to be moved towards the north, then Lalita Devi has to be given the Avahana. She is to be made to sit. Before that, you will have to have a Kumbha. I'll again explain, giving a broad outline. In Kumbha, you will make the Devi to be present. Then from that, you will sprinkle the holy water, the water over you and the dravyas, whatever you have prepared for the Devi, includes Naivedya and Pushpa and everything. Then you have the Sri Chakra and the photo, if you have, of the Devi. Then the special, I mean, mantras are there, Avahana mantras are there. Then you will have to give the Archana, that is Swami Srana, Srana you have to perform. Then Tirtha, Bhadhyam you have to give. Then Upachara, all these Upacharas have to be done. Then your Namavali is to start. After Namavali is over, you have to do Dibaravana, Naivedya. After that, Arghya Pradhana, that is mixing of milk with water with everybody. Most importantly, what are the flowers should be used today? When we find people using a lot of flowers for Lalita Devi Upasana, the officially the recommended are only three. One is Bilvapatra, another is your lotus, the third is Tulasi. These are the only three things that have to be used for performing Sri Chakra and Lalita Devi Aradhana. Whatever we are doing today, including your Kumkumarchana, Yeni, red flower, everything, they do not find a mention in Lalita Sahasranama as revealed by Hayagriva. Hayagriva is very clear on this. These are the procedures you have to do. And also he says, and when you are doing that, you may immediately say, sir, you are saying so much. Okay, prayer and all, I can always arrange. But at the same, the level of detailing is very difficult. How do I do that? You have to go to Sri Chakra, then Manasa, then Andhramukha. You can do it as a parayana. Simply chant it. Do the Naivedya and do it. But always don't forget, don't leave out Ganesha because he is Pranavasurpa. Simply you can do. The point is, when you seek a compromise, the result or Mantra Siddhi will take that much longer because the fruition of the mantras that come to you is directly in proportion to your faith and the procedures you follow. For Mantra Siddhi, it is called Purasharana. Again, that is by Hayagriva. He describes this in Purvanga. That is, what you have to have, if you get Sri Vidya Mantra Upasana, that you may be given, yes, see, there are 15 Acharas of Devi, there are also 15 Acharas of Devi. I don't want to say that, in the appropriate moment I shall even feel like it, because it's Sri Vidya Mantra. Those letters, some letters will be given to you. Say, maybe it is 3 Acharas, 4 Acharas, 5 Acharas, 7 Acharas, or 10 Acharas. That again depends on your guru and what he decides to give you. Now, for that mantra to come to fruition and it becomes a siddhi, mantra siddhi, you have to chant the number of letters into 1 lakh. Supposing you are given 5 letters of Devi, then you are expected to chant 5 lakh times of that syllable. Then 10% of that, that is 5 means 50 lakh. Of 10%, it's about 5 lakh time. You have to perform yajna. Then again, 10% of that, you have to feed Brahmin. Here Brahmin means one who has realized Brahman. One who is a master in Veda, who has governed worldly desires, right? Then 10% of that you have to perform Tarpana, that is your ancestors. And 10% of that you have to perform Marjana, that is doing everything in a negative way, that is called, you know, in Western type you call it, no? That is dark, whatever it is, that is the reverse way, that is for Upper Vidya.
knowledge.
This is the procedure for Sri Vidya Mantra to give you the result. But Hayagriva adds one line. If Devi decides to give you everything, nothing else matters. He can give you directly. So, but having said that, we should always try to follow the what our earlier people, I mean people who have gone deep into the Santa Shastra have given us. You can take it from me, our experience of seeing. When you start these things in earnest, you will be shown the way. As much as you get a lot of disturbances, you would also get guidance. So you will get, you will find a way of doing this, and this process also becomes easy. So in Lalita Sahasranama, there is a secret. With that, I think I will complete today's class. Another 8 minutes there, let me tell you. This most important Sri Vidyavagasya, which I will expand in the next class. That is, what is a Sri? The Rahasya of Devi. The Rahasya of Devi. Devi sits in the Bindu, that is the innermost portion of Sri Chakrasa. That Sri Indra contains another avarana, nine circumambulation, nine circle. Each represents a different level of mental plane. Tralokya Mohana Vasya. I'll again explain. Inside you got Anandamaya. Inside that you have the Devi. She sits in the Bindu. That is the principle of male and female energy. And the formation of Sri Chakra is the nine triangles facing downwards and nine triangles facing upwards with four opening outside to allow the spiritual energy to come out, and inside Devi sits around the next, the next chakra sits the Paragurus, and later sits the Paraguru, Aparaguru and Devaguru, Parabaraguru and Vagdevis. Now Devi, the real secret is Devi reveals herself in Saguna Aradhana in the form which we worship her, that is Sindhu, Raralogana, Strinayana, Malikya, Maulispurad, Taranayagariyana, Smitamukhi. That is, we describe her. That appears before your eyes. So in that form, she appears before you. That is Stula. Secondly, the Sukshma Sarira, that also you can see in your mind's eye. But in Sri Vidya Upasana, the third innermost secret is Vasanamaya Sarira, that you don't see. What she does for Sri Vidya Satagas, who follow the Sri Vidya mantras given to them by hearing the Anahata Chakra, an Anahata sound. Here I don't mean the chakra. Anahata is the sound, as I said earlier. The sound you hear when you start doing the syllables, japa. What happens is, she reveals herself in a with limited attributes. So we know the reality has innumerable attributes. But she reveals to you in a subtle form. It is absolutely subtle, which you don't see. But in this other Ati Sukshma, I'll give you the name. In Ati Sukshma, she reveals herself in a specific mode with set specific attributes. This is called Vasanamaya Sarira. This Vasanamaya Sarira is revealed to Sri Vidya Upasaka. This is the secret of Sri Vidya Upasana, Sri Vidya, Sri Pura, and Sri Mantra. All the three are always used with the prefix of Sri. They are not to be used, say for example, Pura or Yantra. They are not to be used because they are highly esoteric and they are very, very, very powerful. And one most important point in Lalita Sahasranama is Bhakta Saubhagyadani, the description she gives to herself. He will give you whatever you want. But only thing is, if you are foolish, you will be asking wealth, money, children. Don't ask. Because what you ask should be your dhyana, the transcendent knowledge, you going beyond space and time, and the cycle of birth and death. That is what is important in life, because whatever you get, when you get wealth, anything, whatever pressure, children, wife, everything, everything comes with a price. And whatever you acquire, please remember, they will leave you, excepting the grace of Goddess Lalita, and also the knowledge of Sri Vidya will never leave you. So even if you are led by her Maya to go after these things, be firm to ask for something which is far more better and superior than all these things. I think with this we are coming